Stand up, Nuggets Nation. Denver Sports presents the Mile High Hoops Podcast with Zach Bi. Denver Sports is your home for the most Nuggets content. Now here's your host, Zach Bi.
What is up and welcome to another edition of the Mile High Hoops Podcast. As always, I am your host, Zach Bi, and as always, I appreciate you spending a sliver of your busy day with me here on the podcast. If you are watching on YouTube right now, you see that I am in a makeshift setup because our studio, which is fantastic, it is actually being redone and made bigger and better, and it's going to be so crazy, and it's quite an investment from our company into the digital space. So for the time being, it's going to be kind of makeshift, and that it may be this way for, I don't know, a month, maybe 2 months, but ultimately it's going to look glorious, so hang tight. And if you're listening and not watching, what's up? Nothing's different. Reacting to a Denver Nuggets win over the Clippers. I'm going to be incredibly honest here. This is probably going to be a 15-minute podcast. It's not going to be long. I don't have a lot of time. I go live for my four-hour radio show in exactly 19 minutes from now. I just had a meeting that's got nothing to do with nothing, that just went a little bit long. So with that said, some of my thoughts aren't going to be as expansive as they normally are. And I know some are, some aren't, but they're going to be maybe like micro thoughts, so I can try to get through everything that I have in my notes. Following the 111-108 W on national TV, NBA in-season tournament, which I'm not one of these guys who like hates on the in-season tournament. I like it. The court is growing on me. I like the concept within the season. I saw my buddy Matt Moore from the Action Network put out that the margins of victory on tournament nights against non-tournament nights, it's like goes from non-tournament nights, like 11-point margin of victory. That gets cut in like half on tournament nights. I think the guys are just playing harder. Does that stay the same when teams know that they're out of it? I don't know. We've never done this before, but I'm just mentioning it because I'm enjoying it. I'm approaching it with an open mind. I've told you guys, these things are huge overseas, these mid-season tournaments. And I just, you know, they know basketball around the world too. You know, this is a global game, and if they love it around the world, I think we should be open-minded and receptive to it here in the United States of America. Let's get to some of these thoughts. The Denver Nuggets have ownership over the Los Angeles Clippers. Like, they should go to the courthouse, do the paperwork, and adopt their ass, because they are the Clippers' daddy. They have owned this basketball team since the bubble, since they came back from down 3-1. Since then, it just flipped. It just flipped, and it reminds me of growing up playing my brother in basketball, and he would beat me and beat me for years, and then I eventually turned this corner and beat him, and it was like, I don't think I ever lost to him again. And it's just one of these things where, you know, I reference it like dad strength, that like, okay, gonna stop playing with our food now, like it's time for us to take over, boy. And that's what we saw against the Clippers yet again. And this is a matchup that, I mean just think about the dynamics here. There's history. There's a bit of a rivalry. Okay, so it's coming with its own stuff. They hadn't won a game with James Harden, literally 0-for. So the sense of desperation is very high. They're being criticized nationally. Jamal Murray's not playing. Like, they know that, right? So what an opportunity on national television to come in and try to exercise the demon that is the Denver Nuggets, and they couldn't do it. And there were stretches during the game where I thought the Clippers were going to get over this little hump here in the regular season, and they couldn't. And on a night where, you know, Jokic's numbers were really good, if you're just looking at the box score, if you watch the game, he didn't shoot the basketball well, made up a lot of ground on the free throw line, 8-for-23 from the floor. But the final box score says 32 points, 16 rebounds, and 9 assists. This is one of these things why I say that you can't compare Jokic to other NBA players. You can only compare Jokic to himself. When you are the best, you should not be compared to anyone else around the league. So by the raw numbers, he played great. By Jokic's own standard, I thought it was like a B game, and that's how great he is. And we're going to keep, reiterating that. A couple notes here. I thought defensively, again, this team shows you that they can play buckle down, lockdown defense when it matters most. in the clutch, when the game is within 5 points and it's 5 minutes or less, Denver is one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in the NBA. I think it's too early to start looking at numbers because we're only 11 games into the season. So I don't want to get carried away saying they're the definitive number one clutch defense, but I think that they are. That's what they are right now. So I'll just mention it. Hopefully that holds up, but we saw this to be true last year where the overall defensive numbers didn't say the Nuggets were a great team, but the crunch time defense did. My eyes said it did. And once again, when it mattered the most, they buckled down defensively. Give Aaron Gordon his flowers. I thought he was incredibly good defensively, locking down a Kawhi Leonard, who for me is still the Clippers' best player. But you wouldn't know it by the other night because I thought Aaron Gordon did such a good job. I want to give Reggie Jackson a ton of credit here right out of the gate. This guy is impressing the hell out of me, all right? And I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that I saw this coming. I remember the day I was on the air when Reggie was acquired down the stretch of last season, and it was like, okay, Zach, like, what do you think of the Reggie Jackson thing? And I didn't want to dump on it and be negative, but I remember how I felt in that moment being like, I'm not a Reggie Jackson guy. But you're seeing the culture and style of play swallow Reggie up, and we're getting a different version of Reggie Jackson. And you give him a ton of credit. This is a guy who's been in the NBA forever. And some of these guys can say, no, this is what I do. I'm an NBA player. I'm not changing in year, 12 or whatever it is for Reggie. But you give him credit for being pliable and being the best version of his Nugget self here in Denver. And I thought he was fantastic. 18 points against the Clippers on 7 of 11 shooting. Had 4 assists to the 2 turnovers. Just across the board, not just earlier in the week against Los Angeles, but across the board, I think Reggie Jackson has been such a pleasant surprise here in Denver. It was one of these nights, and I say this, from time to time, like I'm a basketball fan more than anything else. So when I see a guy playing great freaking basketball, you just appreciate it. And that's what we saw from Paul George the other night, who was fantastic. 35 points on 50% shooting, made 4 threes, perfect from the line, grabbed 7 rebounds, had 3 assists, 3 steals. I thought he was fantastic. And in particular, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope took the brunt end of that. I mean, Paul George was just putting it on his head. And Paul George is bigger than KCP, and he's a freaking tough shot maker. So it's just one of those nights where you just tip your cap to Paul George. And obviously, down the stretch of the game, he had that shot that got wedged into the between the glass and the backboard, which was just one of the weirder things because you can't even try to do that. Like, if you tried to do that again and I gave you 50 tries, like, he might not be able to do it not one time. So with the game on the line for that to happen, it was just weird. But also, speaking of the game being on the line and things getting weird, I feel like we just did this with Golden State Warriors last week. Jokic really sloppy with the basketball, with the game hanging in the balance. It's weird. I'm not used to seeing it. He tried to whip that cross-court pass that last week that Steph Curry intercepted. And then he tries to get the ball to, I think it was KCP there. And, Paul George steals it. Next thing you know, he's making a bucket. It's just like, wait, what? How is the greatest basketball decision maker I've ever seen putting his team in such a compromising position? Just, I'm not used to seeing it. It didn't cost Denver against Golden State, doesn't cost Denver against the Clippers, but it is weird, and I think we should keep our eye on it. What else here? We saw Jalen Pickett for the first time, who it was kind of tale of two stints. First stint, I was like, this guy is freaking playing really great. I'm a big fan of his. Told the story and called my shot as him as a draft pick to the Denver Nuggets. He played his college in my hometown in upstate New York at Siena College before transferring to Penn State. So I've been following this kid's career forever. So I was super excited. He was the first sub off the bench, which was like, whoa, what's happening? But he played well, man. He played well in that first stint. But the first stint was with Jokic. go figure, right? Second stint, not as good. Turned the ball over, traveled. But this is how it's going to go. He's a young basketball player. He's played a lot of basketball, played a lot of college basketball. But there's going to be a big-time curve here in the NBA. So, in general, as a general takeaway, I liked what I saw from Jalen Pickett, and I want to see more, to be quite honest with you. Michael Porter Jr., last note before we move on to some other stuff. You're seeing him just freaking not be a confident player right now. All right. 10 points on 4 of 11 shooting, just 2 of 8 from 3. This was on the heels of just 3 of 10 at Houston on Sunday. That was on the heels of 3 of 8 from 3 against Golden State, 2 of 6 against New Orleans. So it's been a couple weeks now since we've seen Michael Porter Jr. shoot it well. He's doing other stuff. That's what makes him playable. Defending, rebounding, a block and a shot here or there, having a steal here or there. But the hallmark of his game and why he gets $30 million a year to play this sport is because he shoots the piss out of the basketball, and he's got to get back to that. He's got to get back to being a shot maker, and he's missing shots that he's not even taking. He's missing shots he's not taking. And that should sound like an oxymoron, because it is. But when you watch the game, he is passing down good looks from three that he traditionally is freaking out of his hand quicker than a hiccup. But you're seeing him turn some of these shots down. That just shows me a guy who's not very confident. Let's just keep our eye on it. It's a long season. This is going to happen. I'm sure he'll turn around and make 5 or 6 threes here in one of these upcoming games. But when I'm seeing a guy turn down good looks, that is missing shots that you're not taking, which is unacceptable. He's got to let that thing fly. All right, couple other stuff before we move on. Bones Highland did not receive a ring. He played more than half the games with Denver. It is customary in the NBA for a guy like that, when he comes back to Denver, to get a championship ring. The team has clearly decided he's not going to get one. I think reasonable minds can disagree on this. Here's where I stand on it. When you make a choice that you don't want to be here, when you make a choice to leave your teammates in the middle of a game and literally go home like a little baby, when you make a choice to hop on social media after the trade and you're from the Clippers private jet saying this is how they treat you when they love you, dude, they treated you how they loved you when they freaking drafted you out of VCU, all right? And you were playing 18 minutes a night for the number one team in the NBA, and it wasn't good enough for you because you thought you were, what, better than Jamal Murray? Like, who, you know, went on to raise his point per game level, the largest from regular season to the postseason in NBA history, and you think that you're better than this situation, and now you go to the Clippers, and he didn't even play. He didn't even check in the game the other night. The grass isn't always greener, and if you kind of forced your way out of here, then no, you don't get a ring. Sorry, pal. That's not how life works. That's not how life works. So that's where I stand on it. If you think he should have got a ring, that's fine. It's your opinion. I have my opinion. Jamal Murray going through warm-ups, getting a full workout. Looks like he's going about 80%, something like that. That's encouraging. That's encouraging. So we're just going to continue to watch that. But I did like seeing that here this past week before that game against the Clippers, him getting a on-court workout in front of people. Because sometimes if he doesn't feel comfortable, he'll do it in the practice gym. So I do like to see that. Okay, next game on the docket is on the 17th, and it is currently the 16th. That means the Nuggets play on Friday evening in New Orleans. I would be lying if I tell you I had a fantastic vibe going on the road into New Orleans on a Friday. They played New Orleans a couple weeks ago. I was at that game. That's when Jokic passed LeBron and Jason Kidd, I believe, on the triple doubles list for fourth all time. New Orleans can be a tricky team, and now you're going to their barn, followed by a game in Cleveland on Sunday. So obviously you'd like to come home with both of those wins. I would probably take 1-1 right now, considering it's such a fast start for Denver, winning 9 of their first 11 games. And then recently here without Jamal Murray. All right, we're going to put a bow on it here, guys. Thank you for being here for a bit of a condensed version of the Mile High Hoops podcast. Looking forward to the game on Friday evening and then turning around an earlier game in Cleveland. And then it's a few more on the road. Like, this is a longer road trip. It's in Detroit, at Orlando, at Houston. So here we go. Pack your bags. Life on the road begins right now. And whatever happens on Friday and then Sunday and then Monday against Detroit, we'll be back here on Tuesday talking about it right here on the Mile High Hoops podcast.
Update your appliances today and save big at Mountain High Appliances Clearance Center. I'm Brad Barnett, president of Mountain High Appliance. Get unbelievable prices on refrigerators, dishwashers, washers and dryers, ranges and more. On popular brands from KitchenAid, Janair, Bosch, Sub-Zero Wolf, and many more. Whether you're looking for new, in-a-box, discontinued, or scratch and dent, our clearance center has it all. Visit us today in Denver or online at mountainhighappliance.com.
Mountain High Appliance, your favorite appliance store.
Thank you.